iron hamsters away. The titanium meerkat and the wampus cat play. Hey, all you freedom fiends, this is Lusander Fiend, and I am sitting in for Michael Dean, who is a little bit under the weather tonight. The iron hamster got some bad hamster pellets or spent a little bit too much time on his exercise wheel, and he needs a little break. There is no truth to the rumor that the FCC and the SPLC and a bunch of other goon SWAT teams raided the windowless bunker and took him to a FEMA camp in Dick Cheney's basement. That is completely untrue. It did not happen, and he should be back tomorrow night after he signs a social contract. On the other end of the line in Jefferson City, Missouri, we have Randy England. How are you doing, Randy?
Hey, Lou. And was that the truth, what you said about Michael, or was that a warrant canary?
Oh, that's the truth. He is a little bit under the weather, and he is not in Dick Cheney's basement.
Okay, then. Well, we'll have to do the best we can, and I hope Michael gets better by tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think he was a little bit burned out, or, you know, the flashbang that was thrown in kind of stunned him a little bit. But anyway, I didn't tell you this the other day when we were chatting online, but I've been to Jefferson City, Missouri a couple times.
I'm sorry for you. Was it on a criminal matter?
Well, I did go sightseeing at the Capitol, so I guess in some regards it was. No, I had a couple of friends from Germany that were living there. A guy that I was in the army with over in Ansbach, he was in a different unit than I was, but when he got out, he stayed over there and eventually married a German girl. And when I got out, I went back over there and chased a bunch of German girls. And I went to visit them a couple times, so it wasn't a bad little town. It was kind of neat.
Yeah, it's kind of small. I mean, I guess some state capitals are that way, but you know, we there's not a whole lot here. There's a big capitol building, as you can expect. The government takes care of that. And I think a long time ago, maybe this is Lewis and Clark camped out here or something, but that's about it. It's quiet otherwise.
Yeah, that's what I remember about it. It wasn't too bad. We went out, hit a couple of night spots, hit a mall, and, you know, just goofy touristy stuff. But I noticed that your capital is on a river, and the state capital here in Michigan is on a river also. And you got Mordor on the Potomac, which is obviously on a river. I wonder how many of these capitals are on rivers.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the reason that we're on a river was back when they picked the capital, I think it was 1820 here, that was how you would get around easily. The nearest big city, and I don't know if it was big then, would have been St. Louis, and you would get here by coming up the river. So that's probably why so many are on rivers. Although right next door we have Illinois, and I don't know if Springfield, Illinois, is on a big enough river, you know, for anyone to care about. Isn't Albuquerque on a river? I'm not sure.
I haven't been to Albuquerque. One thing that I do remember about going there was, how can I put it? Never mind. I kind of spaced the thought on that. But, yeah, so anyway, you got a chance to read that article earlier today, right?
Which article are we talking about now?
That is the article written by the conservative, and that's why I was joking about Michael being in Dick Cheney's basement.
Oh, the article, A Cop Killer Was a Pothead, by Cliff Kincaid, I think.
Yeah.
I did read that article. And they made there was a very cogent argument in that, I think, that basically was saying that this fellow who shot, the two policemen and someone else, was saying anti-government things like Alex Jones might say, and that Alex Jones once liked the movie Guns and Weed, basically putting the blame for those shootings on Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadati.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, basically. a long time ago, back when I was a statist, I used to be a conservative. And eventually I had to get away from it because I had this burning desire to be consistent in my beliefs. And usually the conservative mantra is, guns don't kill people, people kill people. But apparently, according to Mr. Kincaid, this conservative, guns kill people, weed kills people, movies kill people, movies about guns and weed kill people. What's up with that?
Yeah, it really doesn't follow. Didn't Michael also, I think he wrote a blog post about this. He pointed out, of course, that he himself didn't smoke pot. I guess it, but he talks a lot about having been clean for quite a long time, maybe like 20 years or something.
Yep.
And doesn't, you know, really promote it. It's just, should it be a crime or should it, you know, be a personal choice or perhaps just a health issue or something like that rather than a criminal issue. And of course, the same thing with guns, that they should not be outlawed either. I understand why people blame shootings on people that have those things. I mean, if there were no guns, no one would get shot. But as long as the government has the guns, I suppose it would be good that we keep having them too.
Well, if you go back through history, like let's say you go back to the Roman era, was it the video games that caused all the violence back then? Or the movies?
Probably
or the guns?
Not.
No, it wasn't. So what we have is this Mr. Kincaid is trying to blame a object for the behavior of somebody else. And one of the things I really liked about conservatism was that it talked about individual responsibility and that the individual was responsible for their actions. And yeah, somebody could go and help somebody out if they screwed up, but ultimately it was the individual. And now with a blog post like this from Kincaid, he's saying the exact opposite. And one of the reasons that I quit being a conservative was because essentially the stuff that falls out of their mouth is just a sentence strung together, just a bunch of words.
That's true. And, you know, and I don't so much blame conservatism as such in the sense that a person might have conservative, how would you say this, conservative moral views so that they think that X, Y, and Z is wrong. And a person on the other side, on the left, might have a whole different list of things that they think are wrong and things that they think are okay. But, of course, the big problem is that they feel like whatever their list is, they'd like to get a gun and enforce that list. And conservatives are just as guilty of that as liberals, shall we say.
Yeah, the one thing that the conservatives and the liberals both have in common is that they both want the government to point guns at people to bend them to their will. Now, if he claims to be conservative and the movie is the conservative explanation for the shooting, what would be the conservative solution? More government? Make a bunch of laws?
More of what's not working now.
And that usually is the case, because when you look at the track record of conservatives, the big government liberals always go and start these programs, and then the big government conservatives conserve them. You know, what was it? LBJ started the Great Society with the different welfare plans and Medicare, Medicaid, and then when Nixon came along, he expanded them. So he conserved them, and he grew them. And that's the whole history of politics.
So conservatism simply means to conserve left-wing gains.
Yeah, basically, to make sure that nothing ever changes.
So it seems.
Yeah, well, realistically, if you look at the past couple presidencies, how do you tell the difference between one and another?
Well, you can tell the difference is that the more recent ones are worse than the ones before.
Yeah, but generally one administration picks up where the previous one left off.
Well, that's right. And the last president is the worst one we've ever had. And that's a, you know, if there, I mean, there are some exceptions, but that's generally the case since the trend is in the wrong direction toward more control, government doing everything.
Yeah, Jefferson had a quote that is really good, and a lot of these limited government types just don't understand it. And it was that, it is the nature of government to grow and for liberty to disappear.
I don't have an argument against that. That seems exactly right. It's government is like it's like a fire. You know, it's never had enough, never says enough. I think there's a proverb in the Old Testament that lists a number of things that never have enough, that are never satisfied. And government didn't make the list in that biblical quote, but fire made the list. And maybe if that scripture was written today, they would add government to the list because it fits it perfectly.
Well, actually, there's a part in the Old Testament, I believe it is the book of Samuel, where Israel demands a king and God sends out a warning and says, this is what the king that you choose will demand of you. And it's talking about how he's going to take 10% of everything, and 10% would be a great improvement over what we're looking at today. But the final warning was, and when the day comes that you cry out for relief from the king that you have chosen, God will not answer you that day.
That's right. And even with the warning, the Israelites said, oh, shoot me, sweetheart. And they did.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Exactly. I'm not sure that they didn't know what they were getting in for. I mean, the reason they wanted a king, if I remember, was because they said that the people around them had a king.
Yeah, it was FOMO, fear of missing out.
I guess. You know, and they had their society was really... I thought it was really a good when they were, if I remember right, the only people that were kind of ruling them were the people they called judges.
Yeah.
Who it seemed like the only thing the judges did was if they had a war or something, the judges would lead them. And if they had disputes, the judges would settle disputes. And other than that, they just left you alone.
Yeah. I mean, well, when you don't have a government, how do you have wars?
Well, I think they had some.
More Freedom Fiends. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends with Lusander Fiend and Randy Englund.
That's me.
Well, we left off, we were talking about 1 Samuel 8 from, that's the Old Testament, right?
I think that's right.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm a recovering Catholic, so I'm not really up on all that stuff anymore. And what we left off with was a warning of demanding a king to rule. And prior to that, I'd given a quote from Jefferson that is the nature of government to grow and for liberty to disappear. And going back to the, how can we put it, the two tweakers from Las Vegas that shot the cops.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
right.
They're reputed to be anti-government. So let's think about why would they be anti-government?
Well, the one fella, I think that didn't he spend a week in jail?
I believe he did for possession of agriculture.
Yeah, and I don't know if he sold marijuana or just possession. Usually you get more than a week in jail for selling. So it could be that. But I think that this, they had some things that showed anti-government, like they left a Gadsden flag at the scene of the killing, isn't that right?
I believe so, and a Nazi flag.
Well, that said that there was a swastika, not a
okay.
Nazi flag. But see, that doesn't, I'm not sure how that makes sense. I mean, a Gadsden swastika and a Liberty symbol don't seem to fit. It makes you wonder if one was a symbol of liberty and the other was an accusation, you know, against the police or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, but you know, there's some disconnect there between a swastika and a Gadsden flag. You know, don't tread on me, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the two go together. Yeah. But when I think back to hearing all these reports about, oh, the anti-government movement, with, you know, because the Soviet Policy Lie Center comes out and they start labeling all these groups as hate groups. And I think the conservatives are partnering with the SPLC and labeling everything hate. I have to ask myself why people are becoming anti-government. And it stands to reason that if you're doing a good job, you're taking care of everybody. Everybody has nice roads. I'm putting my Minn State as dunce cap on here. But if you're doing a good job and you're not taxing people to strenuous points, you're keeping the theft into tolerable levels, and you're not going and kicking in doors, why would people be anti-government?
Well, I'm not sure they would if you weren't, you know, really abusing the privilege, but of course they are. I don't, you know, they get on and they say, oh, this person's anti-government at that, and I'm thinking more and more people hear that and go, well, I don't like what's going on either. I mean, that the election in Virginia this last week that had Eric Cantor, who was an ultimate statist, and the fellow who was his name, Bratt?
Yeah,
for the Republican,
David Bratt.
Yeah, for the Republican nomination. I mean, you have to pick up some unhappiness with the status quo when you see a result like that. And I don't know much about this Mr. Bratt, but apparently he's much more in favor of a freer market and society than Mr. Cantor was. And without advertising and that sort of thing, this fella beats Cantor. I mean, that says something.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they could lay it all at the feet of his anti-immigration stance, which is not necessarily libertarian, although I understand libertarians are divided on that issue. You know, most say that immigration should be totally free in a free society, but may not feel that way in a society where you have a welfare state. And so you're actually creating a undesirable situation where you're baiting people to come in across the borders so they can, you know, get the free stuff. And I'm not saying even that's all true. I'm just saying that's sort of the logic behind that and why there's still a lot of opposition to immigration under the society as it's currently constituted. I mean, I understand that, even though I don't really care that much about it.
Yeah. Well, for all the people that are celebrating the loss of Eric Cantor, just remember that Lindsey Graham won his primary, and he did it quite handily. We'll be right back in just a couple minutes.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Sander Fien and for Michael Dean with Randy England. I just got a note from DJ, and Michael is resting comfortably. She laid down some fresh paper, wood paper shavings in his cage, and the iron hamster is now comfortable.
Very nice.
Yeah. I saw a cartoon not too long ago. It was a picture of the pilgrims sailing in on their ships, and the Indians were putting up a wall, and they were telling the pilgrims that if they didn't learn to speak the language and learn the culture, that they needed to get out.
How'd that work out for them?
Well, it was a cartoon, so it didn't really happen, but talking about immigration here, and there's a lot of fallacies with immigration. I regard immigration as moving, plain and simple. That's it. We do have to look at the situation as it exists today, and there's a, trying to remember the quote for it. It says, in a welfare state, the government is afraid of poor people coming in and rich people getting out. Are you familiar with that one, Randy?
Why would a rich person want to leave paradise?
Probably because he's getting the living daylights tax out of them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it always amuses me when some congressman gets on his high horse like somebody's a traitor because they say, I'm getting tired of getting taxed to death, so I'm moving to some other lower tax place. Of course, even inside the country, they get upset if some company wants to move to some place where they can operate more efficiently. So I guess it shouldn't be surprising.
I know people that moved out of Detroit because they're tired of getting robbed also. And I'm not talking about from the tax collectors.
Right, right.
But yeah, surprisingly, there's this thing about people want to keep their money. Yeah, who knew?
I can understand those selfish people.
But let's talk about some of these immigration fallacies and touch on this a little bit, because this is something that really gets in my craw and burns me up. For those of you that heard me talk about it, I was stationed in Germany during the old days of two Germanys and the Berlin Wall, and I was there when it came down and everything. There's a lot of these patriot types that talk about wanting strong border patrol. Randy, can you name the countries that have had really strong border security and immigration policies?
I couldn't name one. What do you have in mind?
I can name a couple. East Germany, the Soviet Union, the Warsaw Pact countries.
North Korea.
So the Eastern Bloc, yeah, North Korea, China. So we have all these, you can only call them socialists, these patriotic socialists that want the U.S. to wind up being like East Germany. And let me tell you something. The Berlin Wall and the border security and all of that stuff, it wasn't just to keep foreigners out. It was to keep the tax cattle in. So it's not a whole lot more, it's not a whole lot different from a farmer putting electric fence to keep the wolves out and the sheep in.
You know, that's been a standard practice of governments going back thousands and thousands of years to somehow stop the sheep. I was just going to say, you know, it's been a problem for governments. You know, they know that there's only so much they can do. They can only tax so much. They can only kidnap enough people to be slaves. You know, some governments. And until people start running, and when they start running, then they have to find ways of keeping them there. And they've been doing this going all the way back thousands of years since agriculture began and what you'd call what modern civilizations, you know, started to grow up. And of course, the countries you were naming, like the Soviet Union and China and North Korea, they are extraordinarily interested in keeping their citizens in. And it can't be for any other reason except that their citizens are extraordinarily interested in leaving, or were.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if you can get out of there, I can't see why anybody would stay. I remember when the wall came down, the influx of East Germans over into West Germany was just unbelievable. I mean, essentially, anybody that had skills and motivation or anything else, it seemed like they just shot out of East Germany and wanted nothing to do with the place.
Was that before they reunited the two countries into one?
I'm trying to remember the timeline on that. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was before the two countries reunited.
That was amazing, and one of the neatest things about that is that it happened without violence.
And it happened spontaneously, too.
Right.
Yeah.
It was going on for a long time. I mean, this was brewing, especially in Poland, for the entire decade of the 80s. And just kept spilling out and out more. And then finally, the Soviet Union just fell. And interestingly, the troops never did fire on the people.
Yeah, and that was one time that troops didn't follow orders, or the orders were to just let it go, it's done. But that whole thing kicked off with what's called a Flüchtlingsferien. And what you had was a bunch of East Germans were down in Czechoslovakia, and they were down there on their holiday, and they wound up just amassing near the Czech and West German border. And eventually there came a time where they just shot across. I saw a really neat documentary on it. I haven't been able to find it on the YouTube, though.
Now, what was that word again?
Flüchtlingsferien.
Okay, it wasn't Farfenugen.
No. But going back to immigration, let's look at some of these fallacies. A lot of people say, they're breaking the law. And I see that as an appeal to legal positivism, saying that something, just because it's a law, means that it's righteous. Under the law, it was legal to own other people. It was illegal to harbor escaped other people. So, yeah, the law is not perfect. And yes, we have a duty to disobey bad laws.
Yeah, well, in the antebellum South you're talking about, where people were required to send fugitive slaves back to the South because it's the law.
Yeah, and it's constitutional.
Well, that's right. And that's one of the things that was practiced in opposition to that was jury nullification. The juries would refuse, in the North, would refuse to convict people who were harboring fugitive slaves. They just didn't think it was right, so they didn't care what the judge said. Not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened more than once.
But you do know that the fugitive slave laws were actually listed in the original Constitution, right?
I don't remember what the words were in that.
Yeah, it was... Well, I'll pull it up during the break, but it's in Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3, I think it was. A lot of the constitutionalists will point to the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850, and you know that's where they get the idea that it comes from, but it goes back a lot further than that. But what's that new thing that they got coming out, FATCA, FACTA, something like that? I call that the modern-day Fugitive Slave Act.
Is this an immigration law?
It's a taxation law. Because you know that the U.S. has worldwide taxation, right?
You mean like you're not allowed to leave if you owe money?
Yeah, that's part of it. But
and they take your passport if you have an outstanding tax bill?
Well, they might not actually physically take it, but they will
suspend it?
Suspend it like they did with Snowden.
Yes.
So, anyway, it's a big hairy mess. But the worldwide taxation, if you work outside of the U.S. and you still have the U.S. brand on you because you're tax cattle, then you're expected to pay U.S. tax or U.S. income tax back to the IRS. It doesn't matter where you're at, where you're living, what you're doing or anything like that. And the U.S. is only one of two countries
that does that. And I assume you can get out from under it by renouncing your citizenship or something.
Yeah, and the number of people that are renouncing their citizenship is actually on the rise. It's not huge numbers. It's basically 1,000 people a year, something like that. But it was only a couple hundred just a few years ago.
I don't know. It's not surprising. I mean, living in this country, I'm not planning on leaving. But if they were robbing me, you know, 10 times worse than they already are, then of course you'd have to think about it.
Yeah. But if you make a YouTube video explaining why you're doing it, I'm sure some conservative will blame you if there's a shooting somewhere down the line.
Oh, somebody gets sent to jail for 7 days for not paying their taxes?
Yeah. Well, if you make a YouTube video saying, this is why I'm leaving, you'll get called anti-government, and the conservatives will say, this guy's causing people to do stuff. But anyway.
I don't think that's anti-government. That's just sort of self-interest.
Yeah.
Being anti-government is one thing, but I just as soon not even think about them at all as even be anti to them. I'd rather not have to. I'd rather not concern myself with them. I almost envy people that lived their lives in the 19th century, who probably could be born and die back then and never come into any contact with the federal government ever, except maybe during the Civil War. That would be kind of nice.
Or if you had a post office.
That didn't work. Is it your namesake, Lysander Spooner? Didn't he try to have a post office?
Well, I'm saying if the government has a post office in your town.
Oh, in your town.
Yeah.
In your town. Well, that's true, but even that doesn't feel so much like being involved with the government, because of all the things they do, you know, if you give them a dime to mail a letter and they mail the letter, it's there's more oppressive things that they do, I suppose.
Well, a postage stamp hasn't been a dime since I was a kid, Randy.
Yeah.
Yeah, more Freedom Fiends coming up. Worms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. This is Lysander Fiend with Randy England. And we're talking about moving and the fallacies that go along with moving. And we got a short segment here, so let's try and knock these out. People have a tendency to talk about, these immigrants are breaking the law when they come here illegally. And yeah, that's illegal positivism. I find it amazing how many conservatives point to the immigration policy of Mexico and say that we should adopt Mexican policies. So basically what they're saying is we need to make America unfree like Mexico. Why not go all the way and do everything like Mexico does?
I can't think of any reason why we should. And this thing about people who, it's the law, you should obey it. I mean, wouldn't you be ashamed to make that argument? Because it's so lazy. It's so lazy to say, well, it's the law. I mean, you can read you read some article about how the police break in to the wrong house. You know, they hit the wrong place with a search warrant, and the guy gets shot to death, and they find a joint somewhere. And then when you read through, say, the comments, you know, after the article, there's always some jerks, you know, some super status that are in there and saying, well, he deserved it because he broke the law. And that's just so, it's just so sloppy. It's so stupid. I mean, give me an argument or just shut up.
It's defending the state like it was your mother. How about taking my job? How many jobs have you lost, immigrants that don't speak English, Randy?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I've lost any, but I've, you know, appreciated the jobs. I had the roof replaced on my house a year or so ago, and I think there's only one guy on the crew that even spoke English. They did a great job at a good price. What's my complaint?
Exactly. Now, for the people that say that they're taking our jobs, if you can be replaced by an illegal immigrant, and especially one that doesn't speak English, then you must first admit that you can be replaced by a guy that doesn't speak English. And after that, you need to reevaluate your value to a potential employer.
Well, you know, everybody kind of likes, this is kind of the poor man's monopoly protection. I mean, we know that the rich guy can go and buy himself some protection from the government, you know, tariffs and things like that. You know, this is every man. He can get his protection, economic protection, by keeping out anybody who might do a better job at a lower price. And that's the kind of thing that keeps buggy whip manufacturers in business. I think that you have to move on if you can't. You should be doing something else if you can't do something at a good price.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's a waste of your time. I don't mean to be harsh about it. I just mean that it's if I can do a job in an hour and it takes you 5 hours, maybe you should be looking at a different career.
Exactly. And one word of warning that I'm going to give to all these people that are screaming about immigration. If immigration laws are enforced and all that other stuff, you can say goodbye to half of the Victoria's Secret models. And we don't want that, do we?
Well, is that true? Is that?
Well, a lot of them are foreign-born, but anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, close the borders and keep out all the hot chicks. But how about crime? Tell me how illegal immigrants come in and they join the drug market and all that other stuff, the cartels, and you have all this crime around the illicit market. How'd that come about?
I think that's a bunch of baloney. I was a prosecutor for 14 years, and I'm in Missouri, so I can't speak to what it's like, say, in Arizona. I don't have Sheriff Joe's problems. But in the places where, well, there we go.
All right, we'll be back with the second hour after this. More Freedom Fiends. Lou Sander Fiend, Randy England.
Worms.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, Hour 2. Lou Sander Fiend, Randy England. So, Randy, before we went to break, you were talking about your experience with crime and illegal immigrants. And you had something that was really surprising, or what would be surprising to most. What has your experience been?
Well, my experience, and this is just in, here in the Midwest, so I can't say what it's like in other places, but our Hispanic community, and that's what we're talking about mostly, of people who come across the border that they're trying to keep out, are people coming up through Mexico, of course. And what I found, and I guess it was a little surprising to me, was that we had very few crimes, and minor crimes to boot, committed by Hispanic illegal immigrants that we ran into. There seemed to be a, how would you put it, a culture among the illegal immigrants that frowned upon coming up on the prosecutor's radar. They would take care of problems themselves, and they would get after people that were breaking the law, of that were their own people that they, I think the people that are already here, you know, look out for the people that are new in town and that sort of thing. And one of the things that they're taught is you stay off the man's radar. And so we had very few crimes committed by illegal immigrants. And the ones that we had, seemed like the ones we had always had to do with driving without a license or something. And nothing was ever very serious. And I think the most annoying thing about it is if you had one, you'd have to go get an interpreter, you know, to come and handle the case in court. But these folks just keep their heads down in the community and do not cause trouble, at least around here. And that makes it hard to work up a whole lot of animosity toward them, or being real excited about keeping them out. And I just can't do it. Why? I can't see the point. They're not bothering me. And every time I have an encounter with them, like when I go to the local Mexican restaurant or when I get my roof fixed, it's good. So what have I got to complain about? That's, you know, just my own experience. I can't talk for anybody else.
But they're breaking the decrees and declarations and ordinances and regulations and rules and laws and orders and blah, 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 blah.
St. Augustine said an unjust law is no law at all.
Yeah.
Go with that.
You know, there's a housing complex near where I grew up at, and it was mostly poor, lower income, subsidized and everything else, and it was a major dope den. And one of my buddies was a cop, and he told me that they had absolutely no trouble out of there. At one time there were a lot of shootings, and then the drug dealers found out that it was bad for business, and they started policing their own. And it's kind of like the old saying that the nail that sticks up gets hammered down rather quickly.
That's right. That's right. And there would be no problem at all if it weren't illegal. Most of the violence involved with drugs comes out of its prohibition and not from its use.
Yeah, because the war on drugs, also known as No Cartel or Police Agency Left Behind, has created the violence. All you have to do is look back at prohibition of alcohol under the Olmsted Act, and you see that. I mean, how many gangland rubouts did you have before and after prohibition as compared to during prohibition?
Well, you almost never see any account in the newspaper of the Bud Light guy getting into a shootout at the grocery store with the guy from Miller or something. It's practically unheard of these days.
Yeah, so essentially the government made a problem, and then they exacerbated it. They irritated it and made it even worse.
Until they finally gave up on it.
Yep. And the thing about prohibition ending was, it wasn't Red DR saying, oh no, we got to end this, we got to bring back freedom and all this other stuff. 10 states had nullified it prior to the federal repeal of prohibition. But it's not even the states nullifying it that did it. It was the people not following the laws and refusing to convict. So by repealing the laws and saying, hey, you know, we're not going to mess with this anymore. All the government did was jump out in front of the parade and pretend to lead it. It was something that already happened. They tried to take credit for it.
It was a foregone conclusion by the time FDR came along, and he happened to be the president when Prohibition, you know, was ended. that was a terrible thing. I mean, there was not only violence involved, but the government itself was just corrupted so much by it. I mean, even to the point of poisoning people, you know, by putting out liquor that was purposely tainted to discourage the use of it, and people died.
Or spraying marijuana fields down south of the border with deadly chemicals.
Paraquat or something like that.
So that policy of poisoning things hasn't stopped yet.
No, and it hasn't. Didn't start recently either. Okay. Yeah, I don't know how they can do that, but they do it.
Well, those that torment us for our own good do so with a clear conscience.
C.S. Lewis.
Yeah. Again. They do so with the approval of their own libido dominandi. Okay, how about the welfare state when it comes to immigration?
Well, you know, the argument there is if you can come here and get a handout and they'll take care of you in every way and you don't have to work and you can just, you know, ride in the wagon, then who wouldn't do that? So they'll come here and do it. The only thing I think is wrong with that argument is that I don't see it happening. It seemed like everybody that comes here is trying to work. Are the people that I see, and once again, I'm limited by my own experience, but I really wonder how many people come here so they can lay around and do nothing.
Well, from my experience here in the Detroit area, I don't see a whole lot of that going on either. I think maybe that's just anti-immigration talking point, one of their slogans. Supposedly it runs rampant out in California, but I haven't been to California, so I don't really know. But ultimately, when you look at these problems of welfare abuse, of gobbling up resources, such as, you know, they're using the schools and not paying any property tax. Well, if you're renting an apartment, you're paying property tax. You're not paying it directly to the city or the county or whoever it is, but that tax is wrapped up in your rent. So, yeah, you are getting charged rent on what somebody owes by the local government. But all this is a problem with socialism, because schools are a socialized institution, whereas everybody's forced to pay for it, is for the common good and all that other nonsense. And you have these astronomical costs because there's no competition. It's a completely government-run industry. Now, sure, you have an option of charter schools, which are government-approved and paid for with tax dollars, so you're kind of changing the name, but it's still the same thing. And the crime? Well, if it wasn't for the war on drugs, you wouldn't have people coming up here to sell drugs. So, essentially, all these problems, just like all other problems, can be solved by abolishing government.
Yeah, and you know, and you said, you know, I don't know how big what the problems really are in California or, say, on the border in Texas and that. In one sense, I guess I have to say I don't care. And when I say that, it's not that I'm trying to be callous or heartless about it, but if there is a problem in Texas or a problem in California, it should at least be addressed by the people that have to deal with it and not by some moron up in Washington, D.C. I mean, if there are problems, they certainly have their answers on the local scene. And I'm sitting here in Missouri, and I don't see the problem, so I don't know why I need their solutions. And I just don't care what they think. I think we're probably smart enough to deal with this here on our own, whatever that would be.
But we're all in this together, man.
Well, we're not all
the social contract.
Yeah, that's why the police have to come and save me if I call them, right?
Oh yeah, they'll come save you eventually, unless you're called a 911 and the police department goes to voicemail.
Yeah, they'll come and scrape me up when it's over.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. California problems are not Missouri or Michigan problems. And this whole collectivist notion that we are all in this together and this it takes a village to raise an idiot type thing, you know, that's how you get this stuff. That's how you get Pelosi controlling what happens in these other places. That's how you get Pelosi controlling stuff that happens in Texas.
You have any problems with Canadians trying to get in up there?
Actually,
I mean, you're right on the border, right?
Yeah, yeah. They've been coming over here and gobbling up our healthcare resources.
Gobbling them up like they're limited or something?
Well, they are somewhat scarce, but a lot of Canadians drive across the Ambassador Bridge or come through the tunnel and see doctors here in the Detroit area because the Canadian healthcare system is all messed up.
That sounds like a plus to me.
Yeah, well, they got the socialized medicine up there, and I imagine once Obamacare kicks into full swing, the Canadians will quit coming here. Maybe they'll drive through Alaska and go to Russia or something like that. Who knows?
I guess it depends on whether we eventually have laws that make it a crime to use a private physician.
I could actually see that happening, and
sure.
I think over in England you have to have government approval to see a private physician. It's really crazy.
It's hard to imagine. Sometimes you wonder if you live too long. where it's going? It's just horrifying to think about. And you think, well, maybe we don't have to worry about it. What are they talking about? The singularity comes along when the machines are so smart that they take over everything. So maybe that'll happen before the whole healthcare thing hits the fan. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, maybe the machines will start grabbing up politicians and slapping them around and say, free market, but who knows?
Maybe a machine could be programmed to do that, to slap politicians.
Yeah.
a little facial recognition and you'd be on your way, you know.
Yeah, the chasing down politicians. This is a politician we're looking for. The machines will turn to stormtroopers. Or the worst case scenario, they turn out to be Terminators and they're programmed by the politicians. And they're kicking down Michael Dean's bunker door and getting him for making movies.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. This is Lusander Fien, and on the other end of the internets, we have Randy England.
Good evening. Good morning, I mean.
Yeah, good morning. Good evening. One of those things. We were talking a little while ago during the break about an article that Tom Woods just put out. And what was the title of that?
He wrote an article. It's at lewrockwell.com called "Is Libertarianism Un-Catholic?" And of course, the name was prompted by this conference that they had a little while back. I think it was the 3rd of June, so it's almost 2 weeks ago now, in Washington, D.C., that was put on at Catholic University. The title of the conference was Erroneous Autonomy, the Catholic Case Against Libertarianism. And they put up a list of speakers, and everybody, apparently everyone in it, was against libertarianism. And the thing that got people's interest in all of the headlines, of course, was the keynote address delivered by Cardinal Rodriguez, who's the Archbishop of, if I can say this, Tegucigalpa, Honduras. And in that, it was kind of pretty lefty stuff that was in the article, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Now, wasn't he calling for redistribution of wealth and just a whole bunch of socialistic ideas?
Well, the cardinal wrote that, he was arguing that, he said personal charity was insufficient to solve global problems. And then he uses words like solidarity. And says solidarity is more than a few sporadic acts of generosity. So basically he's saying charity is fine. You know, if you want to do that and get some brownie points in heaven, you know, be a nice guy, but that isn't going to cut it. And then he's right after that. I mean, there's nothing left. We got to go put guns to heads and get the money we need to equalize the wealth on this planet. And it's as simple as that. there's a book that came out in April, a fellow named, a French economist named Piketty, if I said that right.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and Piketty, in his book, he essentially said that the gap between the rich and the poor was going to grow in the future. Apparently, economists who know things about this, and I know nothing, but who do know about this have just been ripping this book to shreds, you know, over the last month or so. And, you know, saying that even his data is all wrong, and even if you take it like it is, it's read wrong. And a lot of people are now saying that it's wrong and that the gap between the rich and the poor is not going to increase and that the guy is wrong. But the cardinal did, he talked about this book by Piketty and said that the conservatives, and I guess libertarians are trembling before the word of the almighty Piketty. And of course, by now they're laughing. But the whole thing is, there's this bugaboo now, and you see this, it's not only you know, socialists, well, I guess maybe it is only socialists, but this thing about inequality. You probably, you know, read some stuff about and heard the controversies, even in libertarian circles, between the thick and the thin libertarianism. And most of that comes from the thick libertarians who talk about equalizing wealth. And the cardinal talked about that, equality, getting people having more like the same thing. And the thick libertarians, of course, they believe, and they may be right in many cases, I don't know. Some people think it will make a difference. Some people say no, that if you take away all the favors that big government gets, you know, the bailouts and the subsidies and monopoly treatment and IP law and things like that, that will take away some of the power of the big boys. And then if you get your foot off the neck of the poor people, you know, and let them open up their home businesses and do babysitting in the house and be street vendors and drive cabs and their own businesses, they'll have a chance to break out from under, you know, having to work, you know, for minimum wage, heaven forbid, or whatever, you know, that they're complaining about. I think they call that wage slavery. That it will end wage slavery, as they call it, or at least end, make it not coercive in their view.
All right. More Freedom Fiends right after this.
You're listening to the The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Wampus Cat and the Titanium Meerkat. And missing tonight is the Iron Hamster. Just found out that Michael ran out of words, so now he's got his computer mining some new ones. He's mining, he has a new bit word program, and he's trying to get his words back. So anyway, before we went to break, we were talking about the article by Tom Woods and the leftist cardinal, I believe it was. Cardinal or bishop? Cardinal?
Cardinal from Honduras.
Okay.
And, you know, the thing that, you know, Tom Woods, of course, he beats his head against this topic quite a bit. He wrote a whole book about this topic, about economics and Catholic social teaching, called The Church and the Market, where he lays out the whole thing about why the free market, you know, is better for people. I mean, he says that the, you know, when it comes to what the church teaches, the church has the right to teach that you should be good to the poor, you should help the poor. And that's their job, and that's a moral position that they take and tell Catholics that they should, you know, be preferential to the poor and help them. It's called charity. And this is not charity. When you take something at the point of a gun, it totally destroys any idea of charity. You know, welfare is not charity, and it has a totally different effect of charity. For one thing, with charity, the fellow who's giving the gift to somebody who needs it is presumably doing a good thing and perhaps becoming a better person while they're at it. Whereas if the government just steals that from you and gives it to somebody else, I mean, you don't even get any credit for doing that. And I doubt that it makes you any kind of a better person, because you haven't done anything except yield at the point of a gun. But Tom Wood's critique to the you know, the speech that the cardinal gave, and he said, here's one thing that he said. He said, "I trust I shall not be accused of private interpretation of the New Testament when I note my failure to locate either of the following statements or even remote insinuations in the words of Christ. First of all, he never said concern for the poor is the same thing as favoring a welfare state. And second, if moral suasion fails, employ violence to carry out your egalitarian program." I don't know. For me, I have a real problem with the use of violence to make people be nice. I mean, it's probably the main reason that I became a libertarian, and the moral basis for believing in the non-aggression principle, that you can't use violence to make good people. And that's, you know, from a Christian standpoint or a Catholic standpoint, that's why we're here.
Yep. And we can look at the history of welfare and redistributive programs, and it is a complete utter failure. The big thing that I want to touch on is, why is a cardinal giving economic advice and trying You know, why is he trying to solve these problems with his position? Because when I think of a priest, a cardinal, bishop, whatever, I think of religious teaching. I think of, you learn the Bible from them. You learn about the scriptures and the contents of it. You know, why are they engaging in mission creep and going into economics and government? Why are they crossing that line?
Well, mission creep is probably a real good word for it, because the only things that they are supposed to be teaching, the only things that they are, I don't want to use the word authority in the wrong way, because they have no physical violent authority to do anything. But when you voluntarily go to church or listen to the teachings of some religious leader, I know I'm Catholic, so I can only really speak from my point of view. But you're looking to them and accepting their teachings on moral doctrines and on theology, which is the study of God or the nature of God. So if you belong to a church and they say, well, this is what, Jesus was the Son of God, and this is the Trinity and what that doctrine means in that, if you're in that religion, you would accept the cardinal's exposition of what that meant. And when it comes to moral issues, when the cardinal says that thou shalt not kill, you would accept that. And when the cardinal says you should be kind to other people, you should accept that. And the same way that Jesus would say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then right away, you have to ask yourself, well, one thing that I wouldn't want somebody else to do would be to come up and put a gun to my head and steal from me. And that is, in effect, what the cardinal is doing when he wants government to come and take the money to give to the people so that they can equalize the wealth. And what you're saying, mission creep, is exactly right. Because when the cardinal speaks on the morality of helping the poor, he speaks in his area of expertise. But when he speaks as an economist as to how to best help the poor, he speaks with no more authority than you or I do, and probably less authority than a real economist would speak with.
Yeah. And as libertarians and adherents to the zero aggression principle, we know you don't hit, you don't steal. You obey the golden rule, as Jesus laid it out in the Bible. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So, yeah.
Yeah, the cardinal's not going to get a lot of flack for laying that out, is he?
Right, right. And that is what he should be laying out. But here's one of the more important things. As libertarians and people that have looked at the over 50-year history of the welfare state, if the welfare state was doing so darn good, we'd never hear the end of it. But instead, we get the Keynesian solution, or the Keynesian excuse of, well, there just wasn't enough money thrown at the problem. And basically, the Keynesian excuses are anything that government uses. Things are going bad in Iraq. We didn't drop enough bombs. They don't love us. Need more bombs. Stimulus plan didn't work. Well, we just didn't spend enough. And that's the whole basis of government. And government is a Keynesian program. You never did enough.
But are you familiar with Sheldon Richmond of the Future of Freedom Foundation?
Yes.
Yeah, Sheldon, he has a rule. I'm not sure if he may be the one that coined it, or at least phrased it, the idea that there's this cycle of increasing regulation. Whenever the government does something and it's not working, they don't stop and rethink what they're doing. He said that no matter how much the government controls things, any problem will be blamed on whatever little sliver of freedom remains.
Yep, be it not enough regulations, not enough licenses, or even be it a movie called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Exactly. And, it's kind of like what's the answer to this problem? Well, obviously, more of what's not working now.
Exactly. Now, here's the important part, because, like I said, we know that the welfare state has not worked. But what happens when this cardinal or a congressman or a senator, a president, a, I don't know, minion in some bureaucratic, you know, kitchen or something like that, comes up with these rules and comes up with these ideas and they're wrong? Who pays the price for this?
Well, somebody else. By the time the chickens come home to roost, you know, he may be in his grave by then.
Going back to the we need more rules and regulations, laws, ordinances, codes, and edicts and everything else, there's a quote from Ludwig von Mises that I just absolutely love. And it goes, "Each new intervention is an attempt to deal with the unintended consequences of the previous interventions." So in short, you have somebody come up with a policy, it makes a mess, and then rather than getting rid of that original policy, they come up with more policies and keep making more messes and trying to deal with those messes. It's a never-ending vicious cycle.
You know, that's the thing that probably makes me despair the most about Obamacare, that I just know that if, say, the Republicans retake the Congress, that
they're going to conserve it.
They will not repeal it. They will go, let's fix it. Oh, you know, it's exactly the same thing, and I just can't believe it's going to happen, and yet you just watch it. It's like a slow-motion train wreck. You know it's going to happen that way. You just know it. They have the word repeal is not in their lexicon. Our legislature here in Missouri, I mean, meets every year. I wish they would change it, and so that it would meet. It could go ahead and meet every year, but it could only pass laws every other year, and in the other session, it could only repeal laws. See, that would be an improvement.
Always three laws away from perfection. You know what? There's another Mises quote that I absolutely love, and this goes for a cardinal, a congressman. It doesn't matter who it is. If you reject laissez-faire on the basis of human weakness and fallibility, then you must also reject every action of government. Because government is just people. The church is just people. The homeowners association, the VFW hall, whatever, is just people. And one person doesn't have any greater knowledge than another has, at least not the knowledge necessary to try and run this big giant system. And that's why state socialism always fails.
Well, and you're saying one person doesn't have more knowledge than another. The person who has the most knowledge is the person that's actually involved in the situation.
Yeah. Well, when I say they don't have more knowledge than they are, what I really should have said is they don't have the required knowledge. They don't have any special knowledge that's not available to somebody else. You know an awful lot more about the law than I do. But, you know, that doesn't mean that you can do everything better than I can, because there's going to be some things that I know more about than you do. It's the way that humanity works.
Right, and I shouldn't, if I had the power to legislate, you know, on what you should be doing, or even to legislate in areas that I'm an expert on, it still isn't right for me to tell you what to do just because I may know about this or that.
The more corrupt the state, the more it legislates.
If you want my advice, I can sell it to you.
We'll be back with the final segment, Freedom Fix, and send you to bed warm and happy. Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Freedom Fiends. Final segment. Redemption in the third act. So, Randy, you're not going to be able to make it to Porkfest this year.
You know, you just keep rubbing that in to me. Rubbing that in. How are most of the co-hosts on this show are going to be there, I think?
All but two.
Gee.
Yeah, well, for security reasons, we have to keep two of you in secret, undisclosed locations and away from drone strikes.
You know, that may be wise, although I don't know if I was a good choice. But in a way, though, I'm going to be there at Porkfest because you're going to be at Porkfest next Sunday night, right?
Yep.
And I'm going to be with you as a co-host.
Yeah.
And like when I call in, if the mic's good and the connection is good, we can just pretend that I'm there in the studio with you.
Yes, yes.
So let's just do that, and I can pretend that I made it to Porkfest, too.
Okay. But I don't think I'll be in studio that particular night. I think I will be sitting in a lawn chair outside of a camper.
Under the stars.
Under the stars.
So if I hear coyotes howling or something... That will be proof of that.
Well, I'm not sure if there'll be coyotes. I think those will be other attendees of Porkfest.
Maybe while the during the broadcast, the International Space Station will fly over while you're out there, and you can see your tax dollars at work flying by.
Yeah, but as a consolation, I do want to extend an invitation to you to come to the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition's second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held this August 22nd through 25th. It starts at 10 a.m. on Friday the 22nd, and it goes until 12 noon the 25th, Monday. So that's a long weekend. The price of admission is $45 for adults. And what's the price for kids? Price for kids is $20. But anybody that pays with alternative currency, meaning gold, silver, Bitcoin, there is a 20% alternative currency discount. And we're talking 4 days. This is your admission into the event, the camping. The only thing you got to do is bring your food and your camping gear, and you're in. So, and you can't beat that price.
That's a pretty good deal. Now, how do you pay with gold? Do you pay at the gate or something?
You know what? I haven't found out how they're doing that. I'm buying all the gold and silver that people use, and only a couple people paid with silver, and those are some of my local friends. So I'm not really sure how they're doing that, but anybody that's interested in coming out, go to miplc.org. That's Mike, India, Papa, Lima, Charlie.org. And if you're in Chicago and you think Porkfest is a little bit too far for you, well, come on out to the Michigan Peace and Liberty Fest. It'll be held just outside of Kalamazoo, Michigan at Circle Pine Center. And Liberty Phoenix, if you're listening, I believe you're out in that area, come on out. We'd love to finally meet you. And, yeah, it's going to be a pretty good time. There's going to be a few discussions going on. It's different from Porkfest in that it's not really, really organized in the same way. Last year, there wasn't a single presentation, but you had a lot of people getting together underneath the big tent and sitting around campfires and picnic tables, shooting the bull and just having a good old time. And, yeah, it's a really fun, low-key event.
Sounds like a good time. I'm going to check out the link that you sent me. So,
yep,
I appreciate that.
And I know that there will be a few people out there providing food. I'll be selling probably chicken wings one night, steak dinner another night. A friend of mine works at a food store, fresh vegetables and everything, clean food, and she'll be bringing some of those out. And I think she'll be taking advance orders, and she might also have a few extra boxes of stuff that she brings out. But it's going to be a good time. People are going to be selling all kinds of stuff. So basically see the free market at work.
So what's the at Porkfest, which starts, is it start Sunday?
It starts Sunday the 22nd.
Well, I will talk to you then.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Worms.
Worms.
Meow, meow, meow.